Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay. We're going.
We're good. We're back. Hey.
Hey, welcome to Smell You Later, the perfume podcast. Well, today it is.
Yes.
This is, I'm not going to say what number episode is because we don't know math.
Who knows? I'm Tynan.
I am Sable. And we have a very exciting guest today.
Yeah, we're stoked about this one.
Yeah, super stoked. This is our we'll show you guest.
Yeah, this is a we're not blind pitching anymore guest.
So before we get into that, I would like to know, Tynan, what are you smelling?
Well, fresh out the NDA, I can finally, can finally talk about it. I am wearing Voce Viva by Valentino.
Whoa, yeah. You got the Voce.
I got the Voce. I've had it for a minute, actually. I think we talked about this. I don't usually get NDAs for fragrances.
I've never.
Not that often.
I have never.
I got one for this. Anyways, yeah. It was very official.
They made you sign a contract.
They made me sign a contract, and I signed it, and I emailed it back, and I was like, you can have this, but I don't know what any of this means, so good luck to all of us. It's a huge launch. It's got a huge face attached to it.
Can you say the name and face, or are you not?
I can. Yeah, by the time this goes, yeah. It's Lady Gaga. Which is so weird to me. Not weird.
Does she have her own fragrance?
She does. I don't think they're alive anymore. I think she's walked away from all that.
I was going to say, I'm like, she definitely should.
Yes. No, yeah. She has two. But she also has her own brand, House Labs.
Right.
So she's now the face of this fragrance. Anyways, all that to say, you know, usually when these big launches happen, they roll out in Q4 because it's pre-holiday. Mm-hmm. Fragrances make a lot of people a lot of money, so they want to move a lot of scent. And because of that, they're usually very familiar. You know, not to say that familiar is bad, but you don't smell a lot of new, exciting things around this time, especially when they're mammoths like this one. However, when this one showed up, I was really, really pleasantly surprised. I really like this. It's very cute. So some of the notes that sing throughout the fragrance, you've got orange blossom, gardenia with bergamot and mandarin. And then at the base, there's moss and vanilla. And really, it's a pretty linear scent. It smells the same when you spray it on as when you shower it off. It's a lot of floral mixed with a lot of, to me, warm, honeyed citrus with just a little bit of that musk pulling through. It's really beautiful, and I really like it. It's a really supple fragrance.
Supple.
Yeah, it's cloudy, like a lot of florals tend to be, but the sweetness isn't cloying. It's just nice and natural and warm and sort of runny. It's really beautiful, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to do really well because, again, it's familiar enough for people to snatch and say, I like all these things about it. But, I mean, the first couple of days I wore it a few weeks back, this is mid-July at this point, I was like, wait, I really like this. So it's great. I'm excited for people to get it in their hands and see what the response is going to be, because I know it's going to be good, but I would like to hear someone else talk about it other than myself, because I've only been...
I want to smell it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So what are you wearing?
I am wearing one of my top scents.
Love this one.
Dia Sendergas, I Don't Know What. To be true, I actually layered this over Debaser. But I love wearing this on its own in general.
Can you explain what
It's a fragrance enhancer. Yes. So it's meant to basically enhance fragrance. Duh. Like, duh, it's in the name. But whatever you put it on, like any other fragrance or specifically like oils, it will just blast that shit out into the atmosphere. Mm. So you're like, oh, I was wearing rose oil, but now I'm wearing rose oil. Okay, perhaps not that inelegantly, but you know. But to me, like, I don't know what just smells. It's so hard to explain because it kind of smells like air. It smells like clear. When you think of clear, that's what it smells like to me, because it has like peppery, sharp edges, but there's an airiness to it. There's no weight. It's super light.
It's like gleamy. It's yes. like, I feel like the reflection of light.
Yes, exactly. It is like a glint of light. It's like a Jerry Bruckheimer lens flare.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the guy or is that James Cameron?
I have no idea.
Who's Jerry Bruckheimer?
Who are any of these people?
James Cameron. It's a James Cameron lens flare.
The only movies I've seen are the Sex and the City movie and a Muppet's Christmas Carol. So I'm not the one to ask.
Okay, not those guys. But yeah, it has like this very light quality to it that on skin, it just kind of soars. Like, I mean, you can call it a skin scent. It totally is. But it's something else because it doesn't have the warmth. It lacks depth, basically.
But it
which
gives,
sounds bad.
But when you put it on things, it gives depth.
Yes.
Right?
Totally.
And why are you wearing it over Debaser?
I was just curious, honestly. Yeah. Debaser, I love. It's Debaser is like a very, you know that one. It's very sweet and
it's
juicy.
So good.
It's got this like
humid and like pungent green.
Yes.
Ugh.
Yeah. So I was like curious. I was like, I wonder what would happen when I put this clear air over it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's fucking fantastic.
It's great.
The fragrance enhancer. Actually, it works.
Yeah. I smelled you. I smelled you in the room the minute I walked in because I'm in your apartment and I couldn't wait to hear what it was because you smell so good. And I am very, very familiar with Debaser because it's my favorite DS and Durga scent and one of my favorite scents, period. But to me, with I don't know what layered over it, it really does change it. I couldn't recognize it.
Yeah. It adds just like a little bit of mystique. It gives an edge, I think, to other scents.
Yeah.
Which is what I appreciate. And then alone, it just smells... It just smells like you, but better. I don't know how to explain it. That's like my first introduction to the scent was on another person who was wearing it alone.
But
I stopped them.
But I think that's the point, though. You don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
It's just one of those.
I mean, hence the name. I don't know what. I mean, when I looked up the notes just because I was curious. And Fragrantica tells me top notes, bergamot essence, heart, iso-E super. Don't know what that is. Vetiver acetate. Base, civetone, fersantol, in parentheses, it's a sandalwood, and ambrox super. These are words that mean nothing to me, except for bergamot, because in my brain, it's like, that's an orange.
And sandalwood.
And sandalwood. But I never would have imagined mixing all this space age shit together and being like, a wonderful scent. Mm-hmm. Wow. This smells like a human. How could it be? Mm-hmm. And yet it works.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're so good. DS and Durga is so good, which is so funny.
Which brings us to our next.
Because Queen of Transitions. Who's our guest today?
Our guest is David Maltz from DS and Durga. I believe he is the DS of DS and Durga. Mm-hmm. And Durga meaning Kavi Maltz, his wife / business partner / the other half of DS and Durga. We were able to get David on the pod. Many thanks.
Oh my God, on the pod.
On the pod.
We have a podcast.
Yeah. Like 2 years ago, was it one? God, time. What is time? When they launched their body collection, they asked me to be a part of their campaign, which I was like, Ma? And
that's
like,
the coolest. That is the coolest fucking photo save. But we have to post that on our Instagram. Okay. That is so cool.
They did a really fucking cool job with that campaign.
It's like, so good.
It was so unique and like unlike anything that other brands do with body, I feel.
Or period, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it was conceptually like really, really cool.
So good.
Yeah.
We'll post it. So DS and Durga is a contemporary indie fragrance brand that has gotten bigger and bigger over the years. They do really exquisite fragrances.
Yes.
They're very conceptual. They take, you know, they really like build a tableau, like I don't know what that means, like a time and a place.
No,
they
you're
really,
totally right.
They bring you, they set a scene. They're not just referential of a couple of notes or this or that. They really transport you to a time and a place all its own. They're
absolutely
really, really special, and they are very heavily influenced by music as well. I mean, they reference music quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
They pull references from everywhere. So we are so excited to talk to David on the podcast today.
Yay!
Yay!
Here we are. We have David Maltz of DS and Durga with us on the pod. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
I feel like DS and Durga is such a... Well, it's hard to say because I've like lived my whole life in New York City, so I realize that my existence is like very much so in that bubble. But I feel like DS and Durga is one of the big New York City cool fragrance brands.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, we're trying. It's funny, you know, you keep plugging away, but like, it's just how people view it on the outside is everything that matters. I mean, of course, there's most people don't know who we are, you know? I mean, my mom doesn't know who like La Labo is, right? If you're having a good time and you're on the ride, that's great, but we're nowhere yet, you know?
You need Justin Bieber to like.
You don't need Justin Bieber. I thought
that would be the greatest brand.
And then, yeah. And then like everyone be like, ooh, Justin Bieber, where is that?
I always think of that because, you know, we do get approached by people like to do stuff and we really try to only work with like who we want to.
Yeah.
We missed the boat on like a really big one. It was what's her name? Billie Eilish.
Stop it.
Yeah.
But no.
They were like, you know, she really wants to make a fragrance. And we were so busy. It was during like holiday 2018, I want to say, maybe 2019.
Oh my God, David.
I didn't know her that much. Like that's the thing. It's hard to, you know, like you just referenced Justin Bieber. It would never come across my mind to ever reference Justin Bieber for like anything, you know?
It's because you mentioned La Labo, and I remember once Justin Bieber started wearing Santal 33, like it popped the fuck off after that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We're not going to covet that. And I don't think La Labo coveted it either.
They didn't ask for it. I think they just like rode that wave like really well.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, you do the same. Like you start to get traction and doing like really big, cool collaborations and things happen. We have awesome stuff coming out that I guess I'm not supposed to mention yet because they're not out yet. It's annoying.
Fair enough.
I can say one thing. We're making a candle for like Johnny Walker Blue. I mean, it's
cool.
Really, oh, sick.
You know, like I love Johnny Walker Blue and Scotch and stuff. And I went to Scotland and like smelled everything. And we are making something for them. And so things like that are obviously really exciting. I mean, music is such a huge part of what I do. So music's so important to me, and collaborating with musicians is always like a big
I remember job. That. And I remember, didn't you make like a little collection of scents to go with a record release?
We made like, the music takes place in like this different landscape that's very like Tolkien or something. And you can smell the different places there with it, you know? You could smell the clouds. You can mix them together if you wanted cloudy mountains and things like that. I like to do it like that. We also made like a line like a collab for Duran Duran like a few years ago that was based on one song per decade for them for their 40th. So always doing music stuff for sure.
That is so cool.
That's awesome.
Fragrance brands, I feel like, don't really think about scent outside of the context of scent.
You know why? It's like really one reason. Fragrance brands, like almost probably every fragrance brand you can mention, it's not a perfumer behind it. So it's like someone marketing someone else's art. So even if you have like the best creative director, you still like don't know what's in the formula. And even if you know like that there's black currant and sandalwood and jasmine, to actually understand structurally what's going on like behind it, you know, it'd be like if I just was a studio selling paintings and I did not paint them. I'm not saying like it's better or worse. It's just, there's going to be like an authentic vision from like soup to nuts for us because I made it, you know? And like, right. I want something to smell. If I wanted something to smell like my best friend's house who grew up like in Kazakhstan, you know, this is not true, but like just anywhere, I'm just saying anywhere. Like my best friend who grew up in my hometown, only I've been to that house. Only I know what it smells like. If I brought it to another perfumer who's probably like, you know, a French guy or like maybe a French woman, you know, there's so few perfumers and I start telling them what my friend's house smelled like, they're never going to be able to know that. And so you end up taking someone else's artistic creation and then like selling it, like marketing something else. So it's hard to like pivot. I see this all the time. I mean, where the name or the copy like has nothing to do with the fragrance. It'll be like, this is a scent about Mars with vanilla absolute and like lemons. And you'd be like, why would you think Mars would and vanilla and lemon? You know, like, it's just like someone trying so hard to bend what was already there into like another thing, you know?
Totally. And I thought that was unique too, because so much of perfume comes from France. Like, it's like this old historic institution of fragrance. Mm. And then you guys are American and indie perfumers.
Right.
Do you feel that there's like a weird sort of hierarchy, like when you were launching Dies & Durga, about that?
Maybe in the beginning, like you feel, you know, not really. We're more like a band that just like started playing tunes and like got known. Like really, I didn't, when I started this, I knew nothing about business, nothing about perfume, and nothing about the perfume business. And like, we had to just like learn as we go. And we were just like making things about like wizards and warlocks or whatever the hell we wanted. And then like, you know, if people liked it and took off, that's great. But it wasn't like, I literally did zero market research, meaning like smelling other people's perfume for the first like 7 years of the business. Cause I just didn't even, the thought didn't cross my mind. I was just making what I wanted to. I was just like, you know, it's funny because now I feel obviously my power to conjure things in fragrance is so much more advanced than it was back then. It was just like crazy back then. But now like I feel that I could just make anything happen. And that's what it is, right? It's like realistic scent recreation. If I want to make the scent of a glass or a specific plant next to like a colored building, I know how to do that. And I guess it's like how you think about it differently, because other perfumers can do that too, of course. It's just being able to dictate exactly what you're smelling and why you did it and like, and how it's happening. And again, that comes from, if you're a company marketing someone else's, you know, it's hard to describe how to make something smell like an orange glass. Whereas it's very easy for me to explain how to do that because I actually know, you know?
I'm going to ask you how to,
wait,
to explain.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean,
because, you know, like glass is so easy to like extrapolate from. Well, by the way, let me just say this again. If you see a painting with a glass that looks super realistic. Actually, one of my favorite paintings of all time is that one of Paul Revere. And when I was a kid, I used to go to the museum in Boston and see it. And there's the most realistic glass of water. And I used to be like, how can they paint that? How can you paint something that's clear? And it blew my mind. And that's a really good point, is that when you see a glass of water realistic painted, you would never be like, ah, come on, that's just white paint. And like, you know, but with perfume, if you're like, this is the scent of a glass, someone might be like, what? But it's no different. It's like you can suggest anything through visual things, which is maybe more easy to a human, you know, and words, of course. But music and fragrance are like invisible. And so it's a little harder to get onto that. Because, you know, of course, certain glass does have certain smells like you can associate it with that are very like small. But it's, I'm even talking about just the idea of glass. Like there, it is easy to make like a sharp, fresh accord that is glassy, you know, with ambergris materials or aldehydes or, you know, some like really citrus specialties.
See, that's what, like, that's part of like what Tyne and I love about fragrance, is that how you, it's not necessarily like you're not sniffing a glass and being like, let me recreate that. It's more like your idea and your story around that. And like,
I usually do start with the realistic though, for some reason. I think I'm just like really tight on that. I don't want to say anything is anything that it's not. Like I really, it's hard to even describe my process in that way, because there's so much research and I just want to make sure that it's a really tight story where the narrative fits. Like no plant could be out of place. Like if this is a scent about the Caribbean, I'm not going to talk about like a plant that's not in the Caribbean. Like it has to be like that to me, you know, unless like there a ship came over from somewhere else and that's part of the story. Like, you know, that's
like a history lesson in a perfume.
Yeah, I want there to be like, has to be very succinct. So yeah, you can make something that smells like glass or the idea of glass, or like you're saying, just artistically speaking, you could take a piece of music and extrapolate, like grow off of a glass, and you could do the same thing in fragrance. I can make like a glassy tuberose. I can make a glassy, you know, like, in fact, we have a scent called Crystal Pistol, right?
Yeah.
And like one of the notes of it is like crystallized flower parts, like the inner wet parts of a flower if they were like crystals. And it's a little like maybe heady and strange to think of, but that's what it's like, that crystal dewy fresh scent. It's like an enhancer too. You could spray it over anything.
I love the enhancers. Like, I don't know what is my favorite. I love it so much.
You know, this might be interesting. Like, what do you guys just love, how it smells, or the concept of what it is, or the name? What, like,
I love the way it smells.
All the above.
Yeah.
But what's the, I know definitely, of course, smell is number one, but what is the main thing that draws you to it? Is it the smell?
It's the smell and the fact that, and I've tried layering it over different fragrances.
Yeah.
And it always has like its own unique presence, no matter what I put it over, but it's not overpowering and it doesn't muddy the whole thing up.
You do it over oil, because like that's when it shines the most. Like if you take one drop of patchouli and put it on your wrist and spray this over, you have the world's best patchouli fragrance.
Yeah.
Like that, I wear that all the time.
I do that with a Mississippi medicine oil, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I mean like an essential oil, like patchouli or vetiver or rose. Like that, the reason I made it is because I was just like, you know, I get all these really rare, beautiful, precious oils, like crazy stuff, like oud that's, you know, from so long ago. That's so, and I'd like, I'm never gonna be able to put it into a fragrance, and I'm not gonna like make my own, I'm not gonna test out trying to make a perfect fragrance around it for myself. I was like, what if I had this thing that was just those enhancers, the like umami things that we use as perfumers, yeah, create depth and spatial relationships and like pull things out and make them smell succinct, but put no notes in it at all. And so I made like a bunch of versions and this one won out and it was the best one. Then I could fix whatever I want. So I have crazy ouds or rare sandalwoods or flowers, and I could just put like a tiny drop here and spray it and rub it together. And then I have something that builds around that, but doesn't at all get in the way. Mm. Now, if I put like rose in it, or if I put something in it, it would really affect it, but it's just like these enhancing molecules.
Conceptually, my brain is like, what?
I know, I'm fully freaking out.
You know what? If you think about like architecture, it's just like, yeah, this. You look at, there's the structure of the building, right? And before, like when you look at, it's just all the metal that's put together, right? And fine, maybe even the outside, but you walk inside and there's nothing there. You have to put in the furniture. You have to put in like the, what's it, interior, you know, interior decorating. Like it's a fragrance that's just a like outer vessel.
Like a scaffolding.
Yeah, like a scaffolding with no heart. However, it is true that like in this day and age, I think people are very fascinated by that scent that is very wishy-washy that way. Because what happens is if you spray it on your skin and his skin, it's going to be a little different.
That's what people love about it.
I think skin scents are so nice, right?
Yes, I love them. Kind is not about them, but I love skin scents.
I'm not, I mean, I actually am not. Personally, like my fragrance style is like really like heavy old-fashioned stuff. Or, you know, like that's, I love ridiculously like beavery Russian, like manly, like stuff.
I like something you can actually smell. And like every skin scent just smells like a wet cardboard box to me. I don't know.
That makes sense. No, I get that. But you said you do like Adonawet and you don't have to if you don't like.
I've actually never smelled Adonawet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm a fake fan. But I know that Sable loves it, so I love it on principle.
Be supportive of me.
I'm supportive.
But all of your scents are very heavy with a narrative surrounding them.
Yeah.
They all have stories and they all have like a history lesson beneath them.
I have I make a scent master document for each fragrance that has like every single thing that could be like associated with the fragrance. And so like each fragrance definitely has images, like that's easy. And usually like I just say like, hey, like these are the kinds of images that could work. But Lydia, who does our website, like she is so good at like picking those apart. And so there's those, you know, there's transition images on our website. Mm-hmm. So there's images and that can be extrapolated too. Like we worked with Layden and Wade photographers, or whenever we work with anyone, you can make images that go along easy. Moving images, like, you know, I've tried to make little films about things. And certainly we have this thing that we project in the store that's one for those. And then I make playlists for every scent that's on Spotify. That's like my favorite thing to do, honestly, because it's the whole world of the scent, or at least one aspect of it. And, you know, we get like a lot of buzz around that. People love that, I think, because the soundtrack of a scent is so obvious. And then there's not really taste because you don't eat perfume. But actually, I've worked with like Neil Arden, the chef of ABCV, is a good friend of mine. And he did like this launch with us and made stuff based around notorious oud. So there was like saffron things and rose things and lavender things. And so I honestly think that I could, I think I've said the word extrapolate too many times and I don't know what I mean. I could take any like small thing and expand the world of it. And that's what they are. Like cowboy grass is a whole world. We could just talk about cowboy grass and like the movies and the books that could go along with it, you know, and like the landscapes and the music, you know, and that's how they all are.
That's great, because when I smell things, I always think of like what they personally remind me of. And I think that's why a lot of people are drawn to scent or fragrance. And they might not even know that, even if they do, but it's always like evocative of something. And Debaser, which is another one, we both actually like that one.
Yes.
And you mentioned something how it was from summer camp or like music camp.
Yeah, you know what it is? It was like 91 and I went to camp. And so I was 11 years old. It was the year that the Doolittle had come out by the Pixies.
Yeah.
And it was huge. And I hung out with these like cool older kids. Actually, do you know the comedian Rob Delaney?
Yeah.
He's the one who introduced me to it. I have never seen him in adult life, but it's him who introduced me to the Pixies, strangely enough. And so like hanging out with these kids and like there's all these like racy lyrics. We were like drinking these little bottles of alcohol for the first time. It was just this summer of, and I can never think of the word, but like loss of innocence, you know, where you like realize all this stuff and hear these like provocative lyrics about slicing up eyeballs. And I was really into the Misfits too. And so I thought like a really dewy, unctuous fig that's just like heavy and hot August heat and really sexy, which I don't love that word, but it's true. It's like a very like sexy fragrance in that way, body and skin. It's 40% oil, which is ridiculous for a fragrance. So there's like such a big proportion of it that's just wet. You know, and that's,
yeah, that's a juicy one.
It's so good. That's a
trick. Juicy. That's a good one. Yeah.
Definitely. So how do you choose like what notes would like trigger a memory like that for you?
It works like backwards and forwards. I was working on a fig fragrance. I knew I wanted to do something about the Pixies maybe, or that era. And then like when I'm naming something, what I really want to do in all of the copy is boil down the whole vibe into the smallest amount of words. So there's ones like Bowmakers that's like kind of long, but if you see as I go on, like Jasmine Yucatan, it's like pretty small. So with that one, you know, it's, I know that it's about this vibe and I'm trying to like pull it out and at the same time make like this perfect fig. And I remember when I made that one that there were like three competing versions and like we went away for the weekend and I brought them and just like wore them a million times to try to get it, you know. I try to get other people's opinion, which is impossible in COVID. I mean, the two new launches that we're coming out with, no one had ever smelled them. I was just like, except for Kavi, and she lost her smell, sense of smell. But never had COVID, but cannot smell.
That's wild.
Yeah, she can sort of smell, but not enough to be like, yes, no, on like the fragrance. So like, it's just me right now.
How do you like run a fragrance without a sense of smell?
Well, the truth is I do the fragrance, right? So she's the design of it and she can, you know, you're supposed to get it back, so I don't know.
It'll come back.
It will.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. Fingers crossed. Have you ever had any kind of happy accidents when creating something, or maybe like a version of something that you didn't mean to make, and then it?
Oh, all the time. I mean, actually, the scent Bowmakers.
Yeah.
It's one of our top six sellers. I literally made it one time, and I was like, "Oh, this is really cool and great." And I was, and then like I came up with the story, like because I knew at the same time, and it was. I never had to like mod it ever. And it's one of our best sellers, you know? Like Via Volta, like is total accident. I just mixed these two things and it was so crazy and like spaceship purple. And I brought it home and Kavi loved it. She's like, let's just put it out. And it was a few years back, stakes were less high. I think we were just like, fuck it, let's put it out. Like it had no story. I was like, let's do no story. It's just about like electric violet vibration, right? It's the only one. But that being said, it's probably the worst selling fragrance we've ever made. So like,
it's a really unique one.
Yeah.
And I feel like people have really polarized reactions to it. They either really love it or they don't like it at all.
Uh-huh. If you do wear it for 1 week though, this is the thing, because when I smell it now, it doesn't smell crazy to me anymore. If you wear it for 1 week, I think you will like see its magic. Just like when, you know, your favorite band comes out with a record and you're like, like the first time you're like, I don't know, like it's weird. It doesn't sound like the last one. And then the second time you're like, yeah. And then by the third one, you're like, I love this. By the fourth time, you're like, this record is a complete continuation of where they left off. I see it as the same band. I love it. Yeah. That's what Via Volta is. You just have to like put in the time, but I get it. You know, they can't all be winners. I love to like try to keep it tighter and make different lines. I have so many, the drops that we do is the best thing we've ever thought of, because I can just fly my freak flag like 100% and like, it doesn't matter. It's 100 bottles and it's done, you know?
Yeah.
Where did that drop idea come from? That sort of drop concept?
It's one of those things. It's like, as you get like bigger, you can't just like put out exactly whatever you want. Like, you know, I really have always tried to, I want to have the world's best fragrance line that has like the best vetiver, the best orange blossom, blah, 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 you know, or at least my, not necessarily the best, but like my take on orange blossom. Yeah, I'm not going to have like three orange blossom fragrances in my line, right? But the drops, you can do whatever you want. I can make it about the craziest thing ever. And the Duzina Rosie was the first one we did where I was just like, I would never be able to get enough of this super rare rose oil that costs, I think, like for a kilo, like $80,000 or something. Yes. You know, it'd be so crazy to try to like make that and sit on that inventory and sell it. It'd have to be so expensive, but I was like, I can make 50 bottles of it, you know? So we did that. And then we did Lilac City that I've always been fascinated. This is a good example too. when you walk around Brooklyn, there's just, or New York or anywhere, there's just such amazing wildflowers and herbs. And that's my thing. I'm always looking and like studying what they are. And I'd love to have a lilac scent, but like for our one launch a year or two launches a year, am I going to come out with a lilac? I'm not sure. So we just did it as like a drop, bam, you know, and if it's, people love it and request it more, maybe it could come into the line. The Rockaway Beach scent we just made, it's the most like realistic beach scent, like no like suggestion of like gardenia coconut suntan lotion in order to make you think you're at the beach. It's like, it smells like the water.
And that's the what sand. I really want to smell.
You know, same.
Yeah. I think there's, I might have like a little juice of it. But that thing sold out in less, that was 100 bottles and it sold out in like 16 hours.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, the drops work.
Yeah.
You were right.
I think it's cool. And oh, the other thing is Kavi gets to fly her freak flag, right? Because imagine the line has to look like all the same. But this, she just comes up with custom artwork and can do whatever she wants. So there's a red, a purple, and a blue. Like the Rockaway Beach label is the coolest label ever.
It's so cool.
Yeah, I love seeing the different design aspects because they look really special. Limited, well, they are limited edition.
That's the thing. You know, we're artists. Like art and commerce meets in a business like perfume. But like, I just want to make stuff.
So when you guys were starting out, why did you guys decide to work on a fragrance line together?
I just made gifts for people. I wanted to make a bay rum and then like it didn't last. And I was like, why doesn't it last? I was like, oh, let me buy some oils. And so I started buying oils and synthetics. And really, it was the first time I was like soaking herbs in vodka, like in December of 2007. And by February 2008, we were selling DS and Durga hairy crazy scents at like Freeman's, Ernest Sohn, and Ngabi Trust. And then like their Thrillist wrote about it. And I didn't know what the Thrillist was. And I now looking back, like it seems like maybe that like helped propel something. And then, you know, I was like a waiter and Kavi was an architect and, you know, I was a musician, but we were able to quit our jobs within a year, make the bottles nicer by 2009. And then honestly, we kept reinvesting in the business until 2015. We were able to afford the what you see now, the boxes and the nice caps and stuff. And so some, like, that's when we really started and was like, this is how we'd want it to look, you know?
Oh, whoa. Because I remember the older bottles.
Like, I still have, I still have the, my debate.
It's funny. Kavi wanted to change it so long ago, but like, we're like, we can't, like, we're living off of this, you know, like we can't just up and change everything. But that's the thing. I've always been that way too.
Well, because I remember when I saw the new bottles, I was like, holy shit, this is like super luxe.
Yeah.
And I actually didn't realize it was the same brand because it was such a departure.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it.
There was just that feeling that you wanted to live in the 19th century so bad. And once that ended, that was probably like the most freeing feeling of my adulthood, to be like, oh my God, I don't need to live in the past. We don't need to make it look like it's old. Like we can do whatever the fuck we want, you know? And that Kavi's an architect. She's like all modernist and like, you know, brutalism and Corbusier. Uh-huh. And we both love that stuff. And there's no rules when you're designing, like you can do whatever you want. The swoops on our box that aren't a logo, you know, that like we don't see anywhere else. In the 11th hour, it was like, this looks too straight. Like, what if you bent the logo? And we just like bent it, you know, like you can do whatever you want. And that's like the fun, you know, I think you're always going to have like wit and whimsy to it, you know, because you can't take it too serious. Perfume copy is like one of the worst things in all of advertising when it's like luxurious.
It makes no, it's just adjectives and nouns.
Moldy. Yeah. And you know, also it really comes from French being translated into English. If you say like, I'm hungry, like j'ai faim, like that's like, I'm famished. Like if I started saying like, I'm really famished. It sounds old fashioned and strange in English, you know, but not in French. And so those, I really think that that's where a lot of the bad perfume copy comes from, is when you translate those to it, it makes no sense. And just overusing the idea of luxe and luxury, the finest, like who gives a shit if it's the finest? Like, is it really
perfume
the finest?
Sells like, lifestyle.
You like, know like, what the finest is, you know, like you tell the difference between like, you know, super fluid extract, rose concrete versus, you know, like some rose oil from Bulgaria. I don't know, you know?
I think that's the point. They want you to think it's fancy.
Right. So we love the idea of fancy. In fact, if we had to choose one word to describe our brand, it's fancy. And fancy, and it's because like fancy to us means like fancy, you know, it's like it's what you fancy, you know, and it's like dressing up and just being a little fancy. You know, Kavi's from Jersey, I'm from Boston. Like, it's just like, it's like fancy, like, you know, not really, but you know, that's fancy too. Like, you know, being fancy is like getting dressed up and going out is kind of fun, but like, it can't be in like a douchey way.
Is there a note or a fragrance that's been really challenging or rewarding for you to create? And how do you know when you're done making a scent?
These days it's like the deadline. I'm like, all right, like it's gotta be like, bam, like this is the one. But it's also just like, so I'm working on every scent launch simultaneously for 2021 right now. And it's crazy, like all at the same time.
How many
and,
are there?
Well, there's two perfumes and two or three candles.
Nice.
And so like, I've been working on this vetiver for a long time. It's going to be one of them. But it's like my version of like the islands, like vetiver in the islands, like in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And I know this scent is done. If the team like doesn't like it, I'll understand, but like, I'm not going to pod this one. Like I will come out with something else, but like, this is done. I just kept like refining it. And now like, I know it's solid. Like it lasts, it hits all the notes that I want. Like, so I don't know when, you know, you could always go back and mod something a million times, but at the end of the day, you know what I usually do? I get to like the mod that I like, and then I try to beat it over and over and over again a few times. Right.
So that's like endless though. You could just keep going.
No. Because like, okay. So there's this scent that I'm making that smells like desert rain in a specific region. Ooh. And, I like on the fourth one, I was like, all right, this is it. Because I was somewhere, in Santa Fe or near Santa Fe where it started raining. And I was like, whoa, this is the craziest cinnamon smell I've ever smelled. And then I looked around and it was balsam poplar. So balsam poplar, like when it rains, is like a panic of cinnamon amongst other like cypress and dry, like dirty notes. Like there's a lot going on. And I kind of like nailed it at number four. But I was like, you know what? There might be other ways here. So I've done 5, 6, and 7. And I'm not sure which one is winning right now. But there, from 4 to 7 is all like pretty good. And it takes about 2 weeks to like understand what's going on in a fragrance, and even longer sometimes. Even like sometimes you just, the way it marries together and like the way your brain finally perceives it after 2 weeks, like it sort of changes. It's like a symbiotic thing. And so there's 4 versions of that, and like one will win.
That sounds so good.
What's the marination period when you have a mod and then you're like, okay, I have to test this and let it sit?
Well, the longer you can pre-age the oils, I think the better, like at least 24 hours, but like up to 2 weeks. And then when you put them in alcohol, it's not worth ever smelling it for the first 24 hours. You have to let it sit without spraying. It won't smell what you think in 24 hours. And also like, dilution is such an important part of what you do. Like, it's crazy to say, but sometimes something at, if you take debaser, which is 40% oil, it creates this crazy, like, if you took it down to 30%, it's like more solid and more, it behaves more like a perfume. It's drier, but like that 40 makes it like so wet and strange and like lasts in a certain way. So you can just play around with that aspect so much too. And each one is kind of different. I also smell things on my skin, and my skin like eats a lot. It'll eat a lot of vetiver and amber. Like, it'll go away faster than other people. So I always smell on blotting strips, and I try to smell it on Kavi's skin and mine like throughout the day.
Is there a scent that's the most strongly evocative for you? It could be just like any scent in the world.
I mean, like the ocean, like this, I'll never get over the smell of the ocean, right? Like whenever it hits, cause I grew up on this town on the ocean, and like, it just like calls to me. I mean, we just spent time in the North Fork, and like, I went in the water every single day. I just like, when I smell that, like I have to just get in and like be there with it. You know, it's nothing smells like home to me more than ocean. Like even like anyway, like boat gas and seaweed. I love smells, you know,
even that weird salty, like, I feel like it, like at least New York beaches, they have like a little tinge of like a garbagey scent, but like, it's still to me just like,
but that's probably in your head. No, I don't know. Like, you mean like Coney Island? Like, yeah, it still smells good. If you're smelling summer, if the ocean like blocks away and you're smelling like garbage new smells, I understand that. There is like this really strange, like Costus root off-putting, like estery smell that comes from trash.
It's almost like rust. It has this kind of like oxidized, like
metallic thing.
Yeah, like this metallic kind of smell. Mm. But again, that might just be New York City beaches.
Yeah, I feel like it's not so far off from where I'm from. I mean, it's the smell of like salty ozone, you know?
Yes.
Ozone. We are obsessed with ozone. We're obsessed with in this ozone. House, for sure.
This isn't ozone.
Yeah, I mean, one of like the main, you know, if I have a house style, it in my like realist search to make things like realistic and perfume, I always work, not always, but I often add like a heavy dosage of ozones, even if like you don't notice it, to try to bring the scent into like a realistic space. You know, it, like I can make something really smell like it's in the forest by using a certain like ozone combination that's going to like bring you to like the trees, the deep forest. And you can, because I think of them as landscapes, and ozones, nothing helps like realistic landscapes more than ozone materials. And there's a bunch of them.
I'm always curious, like, what ozone actually is. Is the name ozone just a label for that particular, like, note or molecule? Or how does it work?
Well, there are many different molecules that give the impression of that thing. And that's what's so interesting, is you're, like, painting with aroma. You know, there's chemicals that have never been isolated that we don't know the smell of that will come out in the next 10 years. You know, like that, you can't say that about many art forms, you know, like it's crazy that we'll have new possibilities of understanding. I mean, you know, I was smelling patchouli today, this aged Indonesian patchouli I have, and patchouli is like desert island top 5 favorite fragrances for me. And I noticed like, oh yeah, there is like a vinegar note, like a what do you call it? Valerian root, like vinegary note. And I was like, I bet you that's why some people like jerk away from patchouli, is because there's like a vinegar, it's acetic acid in there that I had never really noticed. And I've been smelling patchouli for years.
That's wild. That's, I know, like, yeah, like patchouli, there's so many different kinds of patchouli, and it's so varied. So when someone's like, I don't like patchouli, I'm like, you might be just thinking of like cheap frat boy incense.
I don't like patchouli. Right.
Did you say you don't like patchouli?
I think I was like taught to not like patchouli because
you are. I could just like look at you and like prejudge you. There's no way that you don't like patchouli. Like what it does, to a fragrance, it's in so many things that you don't even notice.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the true. Thing. It's right.
Like earthy, dirty, rosy tea, like beauty. You know, and like
it's grounding.
Even raw, like it's also like narcotic to the point where you want to like keep smelling it more and more and like bathe in it. It gets like that, you know, like ouds that way for some people too. But it has that like potent, something's going on in like the spiritual magnetic makeup of patchouli that's just like getting to like get in there. You know,
it's just like nothing else is like patchouli in that you can literally smell it a block away when someone is wearing it. And I suppose that's just like patchouli oil rather than like incorporated into a scent. But
patchouli oil, and you put I don't know what over it though. Like that is my preferred fragrance. Like it takes away any hairiness that the patchouli has and just makes patchouli smell like so modern. Also, some of the most interesting modern molecules are pretty much isolated from patchouli. I mean, even Isoe Super has elements that are present in patchouli. If you've heard of like clear wood and like there's a lot of interesting analogs. It's a complex enough aroma that there's parts that you isolate that you love. And I'm sure if you took out some of the parts, you know, you wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
Truth about any fragrance, right? I mean, like if you took mothballs and shit and decay out of jasmine, it doesn't smell like jasmine.
Totally.
Fair. Wait, can I ask a dumb question? When you were talking about like the orange glass and creating a scent like that, and then you were talking about crystallized notes. I don't know, remember what exact note you were talking about crystallized, but what does that mean? Because I hear about that like a black amber. There's always like a word before a note, and I've seen crystallized quite a bit. What does that mean when you are the one creating that note? What crystallizes a note to you?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of materials that exist as crystals, so it's a very easy jump for the perfumer, I think, to like, because sometimes you'll see not crystallized but crystals. I mean, like ambergris, like Cetalox, or some people call it ambroxan, like that exists in a crystalline form, you know. Also, like think of like a pine tree, like the sap crystallizes, like it gets crystally and smells crystally. It's like it's visually, it's like how something smells red, you know, like if you smell rose, you know, like it smells pretty red, you know. And so crystals, there can be like glassy scents that are, you know, one of the biggest like transitions in our lifetime in fragrance has been the transition from like perfumes where the base is musk molecules to perfumes where the base are woody ambers. Hmm. And so the woody amber molecules are like way more industrial strength, like angular, gritty, and they're based on ambergris, and musk is based on, you know, deer musk. We still use both, of course, but like, you know, probably most perfumes had some musk in them up until the late 90s when some perfumers make things like that are like, you know, Villa Volta, there's no musk. It's just like in your face, yeah, angular woody amber, you know, and there's a lot of them. And some of them are more crystally than other ones. Like there's one called Trisamber that like really smells like the dentist office, but it has like a crystally note too. They make you grit your teeth too. Yeah. I mean, there's some of them that we don't even use unless they're diluted, like ambrosinide or like Z11 is the name of one of them. Funniest name.
They sound like space ingredients. Totally. To me.
Right. Yeah.
They sound like otherworldly things.
This is a very strange random note, but the one called Z11, and there's newer specialties of Z11 that are even more pure. For some reason, it smells exactly like the basement of my mother's best friend, my second mother, her name's Betsy, her basement growing up. This is how you know that scent and memory are connected and that it's real, because I've never thought of that basement after leaving it. Wow. And I remember smelling Z11 and being like, whoa. And like, I was like right back in her basement where there was like a hot tub and like a weight set, and it was so strange. And I have no idea how it could have smelled exactly like this. Like, it must have been like the, like, decay of some wood or something had this same molecule. But that's how you know that like it really is the molecule. Like the molecule that you smell in your scotch that we use in you know, when people are like, oh yeah, it really smells like that, I'm always like, it smells like that because it is that. It literally is the same molecule. And of course there are many molecules that have shades of each other, but sometimes it's, you're literally smelling what you did smell chemically years before.
Damn. Wow.
You're smelling the past.
Wait, my mind is blown. Shit.
So where do you want to take Dia Syndurga? Do you envision Dia Syndurga going beyond fragrance?
I mean, yeah. So totally. I mean, like I said, we're kind of like a band in that way. Like I came out with the book and the records. Like I still want to do that. We always talk about, we would love to do, you know, Kavi wants to like have a hotel someday and like do all the design inside. She's an architect. That's not Dia Syndurga necessarily. But like we are always embracing the strains. You know, we came out, we did a t-shirt this year, and that's that crazy. You know, we have like pens and notepads, we don't sell them, but we're always like making fun little things in that way. So, you know, we came out with this greatest hits discovery set, but it was like, you know, all like music stuff as if there was an album and like the back was an album. So we'll continue to blur the lines of like what a fragrance can be. You know, this year we made sanitizer like everybody else, and that was like a, but that was an interesting move for us too. Like we are interested in expanding in the home category. We have this Big Stir After Rain fragrance that's like our hero product at this point. And now we have it in candle. We've made the auto fragrances.
Right. That are super, those are so cool. So good. I love those.
I love that. You know, yeah. those are so great. So candle, auto, hand sanitizer, hand soap. We're going to do a cream, like an everything cream. We're thinking more of like a universal type product, you know, like a cream that you can use anywhere. We've always said we'd love to do makeup because like we're obsessed with color. And Kavi is like the makeup maven, you know?
Call us. Yo.
I know. I don't know anything about that stuff, but I love color and love to do the names or anything like
happy
that.
Happy to consult on that.
For real. Oh, bonus.
You know, so we'll always like be interested in doing more things and like definitely music and poetry and literature and in that realm as well. Oh, I've wanted to make this bath line for so long, but it's kind of the most high-end product that exists, bath oil, because you're using the most, you're not going to use any like synthetics. It's using like crazy floral absolutes to like make an expensive bath oil. Like people barely take baths anyway.
That is true.
That is true.
I would say, I'm like, you know what? What's her face? Like Bond number 9 has $1,000 per like Swarovski crystal encrusted perfume.
Right.
Maybe having
I want to do a crazy expensive because just the oil, it has to be like a drop because those things like they don't exist. You can't get more than a couple grams sometimes of this rare oud that costs, you know, $500 for 5 ml. You know, it's like, it's crazy how expensive these things are. So I'd always love to do that maybe as like a special drop. And we're nimble enough that we can with the drops do things like that. Also experiential things, you know, like the perfume truck, like that is so fun to us, you know.
And that is so interesting because so I was wondering, I'm like, how do you sell perfume during a pandemic when like no one?
Yeah, so to do like a mobile store, like, and you know, I was thinking like we could do a show behind the glass that you can stand on the street and look, you know, coming in. Like I'd love to do more like conceptual things like that. I mean, we're opening a store in Williamsburg in September, yeah. October. It was supposed to open April 1st. Yeah. And like, you know, there's a cool little installation in there.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm going to go.
Yeah, we're definitely going.
We're definitely going.
Yeah, we're going to do like some fun events there. I mean, I don't know how much you can do events there, but yeah. Did you come when I did those slapdash custom things where I make you a scent in 3 minutes?
No.
No, I was not invited to that.
How you rude. Definitely were invited to that.
That happen?
Oh, it was for the launch of Crystal Pistol. So what happens was I asked you 7 questions and then based on that, I threw together like a half-assed perfume that was the oil that could be the heart of Crystal Pistol for you to wear.
Oh,
that's
cool.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was fun.
Please do that again. Well, this has been really super informative. Yeah, I've learned a lot of fragrance terms that sound like space words.
That concludes our dream interview with DS and Durga.
Excellent.
Make sure you follow them at DS and Durga on Instagram.
Yep.
Check out their scents. They have a brick and mortar here in New York City. Mm-hmm. If you live here and or are visiting, if you need someone to go with, I'll definitely go with you.
Hit us up. We'd love to go.
DM us.
They're opening a store in Williamsburg soon. So for all you Brooklynites who won't cross the East River, you can go there. All right. Yeah, that was, I feel like I'm going to look up all these terms because my brain is still buffering from that.
Yeah, we have homework.
Yep.
But in the meantime, follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. Follow me at tynanbuck.
And follow me at sabletoothtigra.
Until next time, see you next week. Smell you later.
Smell you later.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.